The first reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 18, to chapter 3, verse 7. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now may many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and you know that no lies come from the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I write these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and so you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, you may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This reading is John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So you can see in our reading, even in our reading with John 10, how Jesus says he's the one who lays his life down for the sheep. Nobody did that. It wasn't part of the culture. You didn't lay your life down for others, and if you did, they said, well, you're probably a fool, because after all, would they do that for you? But Jesus gives his life willingly. It's a different thing. And the voice of Jesus is heard by those who know him. He says that the ones who are my sheep will hear my voice and they'll follow me. That's because he gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe in him, which is the anointing that John was talking about in his letter. And when you have the Holy Spirit deep within you, even if you haven't quite worked out how to listen to it well, there is that voice of God that can help us to understand whether we're hearing Jesus or whether we're hearing something else. John is very concerned to make sure that people understand the difference between the voice of Jesus and the voice of the enemy. Now, of course, we can call him lots of things, and people do call him lots of things, but the Bible calls him the devil or Satan. The word Satan comes from the word Satanus, and it means accuser, the voice of accusation, the voice which works hard to get us to think that something else is stronger than God, that we should be looking in the other direction. It's the one that says, did God really say that? Go back to Genesis. Did God really promise that? Is that really going to happen? It's the one that tends to say to you, you know, you need to make this decision immediately, and you just don't even think about it. Don't bother praying. Just make that decision. Because, you know, if we pray, we might actually make the right one. It's the voice that says to you, you know, you're not good enough for this, so you can't do it. I know you think God called you, but why would he call you? You know what you've done. That voice. That's that side. But the voice of Jesus doesn't do that, does it? The voice of the one who gave his life for us says, I love you and I care about you exactly as you are. I've died for you, and even if you've done the wrong thing, you can say sorry and I will forgive you your sins, because my blood covers all of them. It says, I am the light of the world and the darkness can't overcome me. So if you walk in my light, I'm there with you and you're going to be okay. And I'm with you. I'm going to protect you. That's that voice. It says, listen to me. Be still and know that I am God. Listen. Take your time to make the decision. And then you'll hear me properly and you can follow. And I've said it before, but I'm going to repeat it because it's useful to remember. In Israel, the shepherds don't chase the sheep with their sheepdogs. In Israel, the shepherds know their sheep by name and they lead them. And they say, come on, Mary, Martha, John, Joe, come on, come on. And they lead them. And the sheep know the voice of the one who leads them, and they hear their name because the one who leads them knows their name. They know the name. Jesus knows your name. And what he does is he leads you by name and he takes you around to find the right place for the things that you need. So what I have here is a little thing, the thing at the thing. And what it basically does is it helps us to think about what voice we're listening to. And so the first one side says God's voice stills you, as in helps you to sit quietly. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. Oh, if you do this, what's going to happen? God's voice enlightens you. Hey, look, this is a way forward. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. It's just a very simple thing, and it's not covering everything. But it's a good way to think. And sometimes we need that reminder, because sometimes we think that we're listening to God when actually we're hearing a voice of something that wants to turn us away from the good thing. Because sometimes confusion sets in, and the moment you're confused, don't make a decision until you've come to the Lord and you're still and it's clear. Okay? See how that works? Because the voice of confusion wants you to not make the right choice, wants you to listen to his lies. So I've got these here, and there's a couple of them, and I thought maybe they could get decorated and then they could go up on people's walls if they wanted them. Yeah, go for it. Because I think that's a useful little tool. There's a number of times I've needed reminding. When I've had a bad day, and when you've had a really bad day, and I've had a bad week, folks, when you've had a bad week and things have happened and you've had bad news and you've had more bad news, it's really easy to listen to the voice of those things, isn't it? You know, oh, it's all going to hell in a handbasket right now. Everything's gone bad. Nah. And we can get ourselves into a place where we're not listening for the voice of the good, because we get caught up in all of that stuff. That's easy to do. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Says the hired hand, who is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. See, that's the difference. When you are loved, the person who loves you is not going to leave you in the pickle. If someone's there for what they can get out of you, or perhaps in this case, a hired hand is paid to look after the sheep, so they're there for the money. But the money might not be worth having to fight the wolf, so they'll just run away and let the wolf have the sheep, because they value themselves and the money more than the sheep. But the one who owns the sheep, they're his sheep. He knows every one of them by name, and he's going to get in the way and protect those sheep no matter what, because he cares. So when we come to John's letter, this bit, unsurprisingly, is not in the lectionary. You know, you're going through 1 John and the lectionary, and it gives you a little bit. They always take little slices of scripture. And most of the time that's okay, but honestly, this bit they take out. Why do you think that is? They don't put it in there. Because it uses the word Antichrist. Oh, the Antichrist. Ugh. If you search who is the Antichrist on Google, you'll get everybody from Tom Cruise to the Pope. True? The amount of fascination with the Antichrist. Revelation tells us that there is an Antichrist. John tells us that there is Antichrist. What is the qualification? Antichrist. He says, you know, the Antichrist will come. Well, there's many Antichrists. Why? Because it is the spirit which denies Jesus as Lord. That is what Antichrist is. So it doesn't mean that there's necessarily one horrible bogey person out there who's claws and fangs and stuff. It means that there is a place where if we are following a path which says that Jesus is not Lord, does not exist, the Father is not the Father, we have no God, we are actually following the path of the Antichrist. Now, John is in a community, and that community is under persecution. He's writing to communities which are living in a time when being a Christian is a very dangerous thing. And what would happen was two things. One, there would be people who are part of that community who the moment the persecution started, would be afraid, did not want to have to admit they were Christians because they didn't want to die for their faith, because the Romans were fairly good at killing people in nasty ways. And so if they had a Jewish heritage, they go back to synagogue and go, I'm a Jew, because the Jewish were allowed to worship and they were not persecuted. But in order to do that, they had to deny Jesus. And so when they chose to do that, they were cooperating with this spirit of lies, because they're lying. They know Jesus. And this John's upset with this. The other thing is the people who are the wolves in sheep's clothing, who turned up and would come and infiltrate the churches and sit there and pretend that they were part of this, that they believed. And then, having known who the Christians were, would betray them. You know, this is why there are Christian passwords. Did you know there were Christian passwords? The Christian people needed to find ways to know one another. And so they had words they would use to help to understand. Now, if a Jewish person greets you and they use the word shalom, you greet them back with the word shalom. Shalom, peace be with you. Shalom, peace be with you. A Christian says, peace be with you. What do you say? And also with you. Is different. It was a password. And they've shown this in various Christian writings way back. It was a password. The fish, the ichthus, was a password. They would draw a fish on the ground and see what the other person did. And the other person would know that they were a Christian or not. They needed them to protect themselves. And they've come into Christian use over the centuries in such a way that we say them all the time. We start the service with, the Lord be with you. We say we are the body of Christ, and everybody says his spirit is with us. That also became a password over time. If you didn't know the answer, you were suspicious. People were suspicious because it was something everybody knew. Why did they need them? Because people were not walking in truth. Some of them were deliberately for profit turning up and betraying Christians. And some of them simply were betraying God themselves by choosing to go back to their Jewish roots because they knew they would not get killed for that. So John is talking to a community that is challenged their very lives to hold on to the name of Jesus Christ and be prepared to say it and not be afraid. John is talking to a community where it is life and death whether you stand in the truth or not. He's talking to people who are truly under pressure, that they need to stand with Jesus. And he's saying, if you do not stand with Jesus and you will not admit when you are asked that Jesus really is Lord, you're actually partnering with the Antichrist. You're walking in a lie. And when we walk in a lie, we cooperate with the father of lies. And when we cooperate with the father of lies, we open a door in our lives which allows him to accuse us. Because after all, we just did something which is wrong. And of course, then the voice can say, well, you're not a very good Christian, are you? Look at you. You're a terrible person. You don't believe in Jesus anyway, do you? Obviously, you just said it. Okay, then. And of course, then discouragement sets in and despondency. And it's really easy then to agree with that voice instead of the voice of Jesus that says, turn around and come back and I'm here. There was a struggle. When the persecution stopped, there were those who came back to the Christian communities and begged forgiveness and asked to be readmitted. And part of what they would do was put them through a process of making sure that they truly, really did want to be Christians. And some communities wouldn't have them back. They just felt they couldn't trust those people anymore. That's a real sadness. But it's not surprising. If someone holds a gun to my head and says, if you deny Jesus, I won't shoot you, it'd be really easy for me to deny Jesus if I don't want to be shot, which nobody does, do they? And yet, when we know him, and this is what John is saying, if you know him, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and you know that no lie comes from truth. No one denies the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, but everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you, live in you, reside in you, sit in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. Now, that's really important. Just one moment. Even though they kill me, yet shall I live. Is that not our faith? Even if I die, yet shall I live. For I am a resurrected person. I'm just not there in the flesh yet. I carry the resurrection life of Jesus Christ within. I am a child of the living God. I'm a daughter of the King. I don't live in that space where death should scare me. I don't like some of the ways you die. But when I die, I will live. It is the shadow of death. And the shadow of a gun can't shoot you, and the shadow of a dog can't bite you. And the shadow of death cannot harm the Christian. He has promised us eternal life. Why give that up and choose the lie over the truth? Even if it costs our life, we've got eternity to celebrate that we have life. John's trying to help them to get the attitude in the right place. The good shepherd who loves his sheep says, and will, I think it's further on in John 10, he says, the Father has placed, whoever the Father has placed into my hands, nothing can snatch away from me. We can't be lost to Jesus. He will not let us go. Once you are his person, you are his person. You are a person of Jesus Christ. What he says is, I'm never going to let you go. I don't care what happens to you. I'm there. I will be there in the middle of it. Your Holy Spirit is with you no matter what. Even if the worst happens, I'm there. And what's more, you'll go from here to there so fast. And then there are no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more crying. There's no more harm. And we have eternity with him. Our promise is stronger than death because love is stronger than death. The life of Jesus Christ is stronger than death. We serve a resurrected Savior. This is so important for people in John's day and in ours. After all, every day, at least according to the statistics, at least 15 people die for their faith in Jesus Christ every day in this world. Every day. Today, 15 people, because they will not deny Jesus, will die somewhere in our world. We are so blessed to be free here. So blessed. We can't take that for granted, as we saw this week with Bishop Marmari. There are forces which will still persecute Christians. But if we get stuck on that side of it, then we forget what Jesus says. So we need to make our focus in the right place. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, so now and forever, world without end. God does not change. Truth does not change. John says, I'm writing these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. He recognizes it's easy for people to say, oh, look, go to the synagogue and say it. You know, just step out of it. You'll be okay. And some of them, he knows, will be in amongst them. As for you, though, the anointing that you received from him, from Jesus, abides in you, And so you do not need anyone to teach you. You know him and he knows you. Holy Spirit within us, we know that God is real, right? We're here for that reason. As his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This is the key. Get to know your shepherd and let him do the work. Get to know his word so that when something comes up, you can use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and say, ah, now hang on a minute. No, that is a lie. Jesus said this. And now, little children, John uses this language about his people all the time. He sees himself as a father to them. He wants them to understand that they're loved as children are loved by a loving father. Abide in him so that he is revealed. When he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. And John knows when Jesus turns up, those who've denied him, even though they may have done all sorts of stuff for him, when you have denied him, you have an issue. If you know he's righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. So he says part of the test of this is, are they living it? Because remember, there are false people amongst them. It's not just the people who have gone and hidden down at the synagogue and gone back to their Jewish roots because they want to avoid persecution, but there are false people coming in ready to betray them. Those who do right, who walk in that righteousness, are they living it? He's asking the question because these people need to ask that question of themselves. Watch for that. You know, somebody says, I am a follower of Jesus, I am a Christian, and yet they see them sneaking down to the temple to go see the prostitutes. Is this really a Christian act? Those sorts of things. Now, of course, we have to understand that when people come to faith in Jesus, they don't suddenly, especially if they've had a life which is very much a life with all sorts of things in it which are not of God, they don't all of a sudden manage to give up all that quite often. It takes a bit of time. Amazingly, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, amazing things can happen, and I have seen it. I've seen people who were absolutely in addiction, full-on addiction, and indeed all the way up to the day. I had a lady in a church I worked in, and she was an alcoholic, and she was bringing her water bottle and all the water in there, and she was coming to everything, and then she decided she wanted to be baptized. She proclaimed her faith in Jesus. She came for baptism. When the water hit her head, the desire for alcohol vanished. And from that day, she didn't touch it. At that moment, God did a great miracle in her life. And amongst us, we saw that change and we knew it was a reality. God can do amazing things, but then you still have to fight it and learn to live that new life, don't you? And we won't always be perfect about it. John says the one who sins is not walking in Jesus, but he also says that those who walk in Jesus don't sin. It's a bit of both, isn't it? But he reminds us. He reminds us that everyone who knows him also knows that Jesus died for our sin. And therefore, forgiveness is ours through him. In other words, if someone falls, makes a mistake, forgiveness is there. The question is whether they want the forgiveness. That's the point. If you want to not live in that sin, all you have to do is come for the forgiveness of God. He will wash it away. And he will help you to walk in truth and righteousness. The beauty of God's grace in the midst of all this, he has in this wonderful sentence, which I love. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. We are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But what we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. That is, they keep choosing the truth. They keep choosing the light. They keep choosing those things. And when they've made a mistake and not chosen them, they come back to him to wash them clean so that they can keep walking in the light. And that lifestyle is one of the ways in which we see that someone is walking in the integrity of being a Christian. There's no sin in Jesus, and he will wash away our sin. And he is the one who tells us. Don't take the glasses off because I can't see. He is the one who tells us, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. There are those who would want, in their little anti-Semitic ways, to say, but the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, the Jews and the Romans crucified Jesus, but they wouldn't have been able to lay a hand on him if he hadn't allowed them to, because he had the power to lay his life down. He had the power to take it up again. Nobody could do that to him unless he let them. It was his choice. Always his choice. His choice is always to save. His choice is always to love. His choice is always to reach out to us and call us home. His choice is to stand at the gate like the Father for his Son, looking for him to come home again. His choice is always for his sheep, because he is the good shepherd. And on the day that you feel lost, and on the day you're having a hard day and all those voices are telling you that God's gone, he's not there for you, remember, his sheep know him and he knows his sheep. And even if you are lost, you cry out to him, you will find he is there. Because he will not ever let you go, and nothing can snatch you out of his hand. You can't get away from him unless you climb out yourself and choose the lie. That is John's message to God's people, and it is a message to us now. Stand in the truth. With the God who loves us, stand. Walk in the truth. And remember that we are a resurrection people. And life eternal is ours. Right now. Amen.